Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When is the last time you have been to the dentist? My strong guess, friends, is that has been too long. If you're anything like me, it definitely has been too long. But I know where I'm going. I'm going to my friends at Green Mountain Dental Group. We've had several DNVR listeners switch over to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years. They're now their permanent family dentist. They've let us know that. They've sent us anecdotes, pictures. Green Mountain Dental Group is in Lakewood. They're the best family-owned dentist in the metro. And they're extreme Colorado sports fans, just like you, just like me, just like all of us here at DNVR. Go ahead and schedule a cleaning and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group. You will walk out the door with a free Sonicare toothbrush. Extraordinary value. Don't miss out. Take care of your teeth and do it the right way with our friends at Green Mountain Dental Group.
My internet's not working. Anybody else's internet not working?
Mine is indeed. Mine is working, yes.
Theirs is working.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Losers Lounge. I'm going to be honest, guys. I don't feel that sad.
I do, because I like it better when the Nuggets win.
I don't feel that happy, but I don't feel that sad.
Dude, Friday night, vibes are right.
My vibes are still good. I thank the alcohol for that. I think that's probably a large part of
why. It was a fun ride that ended the wrong way.
It was a fun one. Hey, we're going to do some therapy. We're going to work through it, and we have some special guests to help us. But first, we're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Hey, at least we made some money.
We did. Dude, I hit all my bets.
You do hit all
every
of them?
Every bet.
I missed out on one bet. I had Michael Porter as the leading scorer, which in hindsight was a great thought process.
Oh.
I just did not see
Boyan, bad results. Yeah.
Our homie Boyan Bogdanovic going for 48. What the hell?
What the hell was that?
Yeah. I was not on our scouting report. I think, you know, I knew he was going to be good. I didn't expect him to be prime so Michael Jordan.
It was a night of a good shooter shooting extraordinarily.
It absolutely was. Guys, we got some new people on the set, so I'm going to introduce them over here. My BFF, Patrick Finan.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thanks, buddy.
You're my BFF as well. Best friend Finan?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, not forever. That's his last name.
He's in town. He's hanging out, so he gets to come on my show. I'm like the Bill Simmons of this ship here. My friends come on.
He literally has no qualifications.
You should probably be drunker then if you're going to show up on one of his shows.
I got D-Line Co. over here.
What's up, guys? I wasn't in the pregame because I was late.
That's true. Should we blame him for the loss?
Life happens.
Some people say yes. I don't know. But it could be anybody's fault.
Whatever, I don't care.
Could be
anybody's
fault.
I'm scared of you people. I'm not scared of you.
And then over here from Nugget Serbia, we got Voya.
Hello, everybody. Loser's Lounge. Let's turn it to a Winner's Lounge because I'm in Denver.
Hey!
It was a fun night.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, too.
A life Winner's
There's
Lounge.
Nothing can ruin this.
Yeah. I'm telling you guys. Like,
celebrate
honestly,
life, man. It's been a hard
scale,
year.
This is the low. If you had the pain scale, I think it's a scale of 1 through 5, with 5 being the most, like, you know, worst losses, most painful. I just want to jump off a bridge. And 1-5
is game 3 last year against the Jets.
It really was. That was probably a 4.99.
That was one of the lowest moments of my life.
If the Nuggets were eliminated on that game, it would have been a 5, but they weren't, and then they came back, so it's a 4.99. It was very low. It was one of the worst moments of my life as well. But tonight wasn't. Tonight was still fun. And here's why. One, a couple reasons. Nuggets didn't need this game.
It just didn't matter.
Two, and I'm going to go start with you on this one, Patrick. I'm going to take go to you first. It would have been way better had the Nuggets won. Like, I'm not happy about this one. It would have been way better. But I think the Nuggets kind of made a point tonight, or made their point, in that Utah prides themselves on being a both offensive and defensive team, but especially defensive, and they couldn't stop Denver.
Yeah.
They happened to make a few more threes than Denver did, and right. Some things down the stretch, you know, they came up a little bit more clutch. But to me, I'm just like,
yeah, everybody
if you're
scoring.
Utah, I don't think you go back there and like, oh, we got him, man. We know. It's like, oh, as long as Bogdanovic goes for 48, we're cool.
Yeah, everybody was scoring. And also, it's one of those things where, you know, Donovan's in. I don't know. Can you maximize beyond this?
No, like, yeah, exactly,
you could score
right.
In a different way, but I don't know that, you know, when you shoot this well, I don't know. How do you quantify anything more than this, I guess, on the offensive end?
This is a tip of your hat. We were talking about this last week with the MMA when Masvidal gets knocked out. And he gets up and he's like high five and he's like, dude, that was a good one. Like, you got me. To me, that's how I feel. Like, I tip my hat. Like a knockout punch. Like,
right.
Hey, man, you got that one.
Some nights.
Voya, where's your anger level on this one?
I'm not angry at all. Like, you guys are nuts around the back in this lounge area. Like, all excited.
Take them behind the scenes because you're a little surprised by this. So maybe other people are surprised as well.
Well, yeah, like I was expecting to come here. Like, you guys always talk about post games, you know, do analysis stuff, and like I'm watching the game. And I'm usually quiet. You know, I've like internalized all the emotions. Not here.
It's a high bar, man.
Yeah. It's like banging on the glass, like yelling at every shot.
Dude, this
like,
is a fun spot. This is my first time in this spot, too. Yeah. This is a fun environment.
There's
sure.
like a shot for a 5-0 at the beginning, and it was like, well, okay, we're at a 10 already.
From the first beat of the game, for sure.
I mean, we talk about this a lot. Sports should occupy all regions of your brain, and that includes the brain stem.
It should live almost exclusively in the brain stem.
No. It's all of it. That's what's fun about it.
But I'm saying, like, while a sport is happening, like, to look at it in a professorial manner is like you're missing the whole.
You're
other
losing
part.
The emotional rush,
yeah,
right?
Like
it's
the,
so much
like
fun.
You could analyze two ants walking across the lawn and be like, well, you know, if you look at it, that ant had the killer instinct.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think. Sorry.
It doesn't matter. So the thing is like you need to connect with the part of your brain that does not serve you in any way, but must be exercised.
Yeah, because I think Adam said this is like you got plenty of time to analyze, but like don't miss the moment. Like, enjoy the rush
because
of the moment.
Because sports exist in all of it. Like, of course, we want to provide analysis, and obviously we go back and rewatch games and write about them and do film studies, and we do all that stuff. But there is also just a, like, you know what's fun? Sports make you scream sometimes uncontrollably.
Yeah, it's awesome. And high-five strangers. And, you know, like, well, maybe not in COVID.
There's the forensic side where you look back and you say, why did that happen? What happened?
There's a fly in here.
What can we take from this to learn to how to predict what might happen in the future? And then there's the part where you just react to things that are happening and, like, you become animalistic and you lose your mind and you scream at your friends.
Yeah. And it was fun, man. Like, and this is the thing about this one is the Nuggets drop 120 on the Jazz. That should be good enough. Their defense wasn't good enough tonight. It wasn't. And, you know, Utah ran really hot. But I like the point that you made. There is a sort of ceiling on how good you can be on offense. And this happens sometimes. And Denver was hot tonight, too. Like, they made some shots. But part of this is, you know, Donovan Mitchell wasn't there. Mike Conley wasn't there. Do they score more than 127 if those guys are here? Maybe, but not. I don't think they score much more than that, if anything. Yeah, and it's like, tonight you got Bogdan. It happens sometimes. You happen to get Bogdan. What do you think the biggest takeaway is, Voya, from this game tonight?
I mean, you said it. Like, it's the, like, this iteration of the Nuggets scored 120 points. Like, they were mundering themselves in the previous few games.
Yeah.
And, like, it's 120 now. And, like, look, Utah can be happy, but, like, by how much, like Austin Rivers, Jermichael Green, like no point guard basically that can score, and you still allow that many points. And Jokic only has 11 shots, 9 of 11. Not passive, but like still just like doing his conducting thing, not aggressive. And you still allow that much. Like you have one block that Gobert can hang, you know, put a poster up, you know, for forever, and that's his one play against Jokic. And
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much they can be like happy. Like Bogdanović score, you know, basically getting 48.
Can be happy, dude. If I was a Jazz fan, I'd be elated. Like, if you win against the Nuggets, that feels great. An L against the Jazz feels like garbage. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter.
There's some recent history.
Bogdanović is a little bit like Barton going for 48. Yes. I mean, this is a career night for Bogdanović. It'd be a little bit like Will Barton going for 48. We wouldn't be like, that's right, baby. That's what happens. I mean, we're going to do it again.
No, I mean, if you're asking like what this means in the grand scheme of things, it means very little. But like, it sucks. I hate losing to the Jazz. It feels terrible. Yeah. Especially because then you watch them like pounding their chests. You just want to punch them in the face.
I kind of get a different feel from this game. Like, I think Utah feels great about getting the win, but I think they're still, I'm telling you, the psychological thing is, can our best guys stop their best guys or score on their best guys, whatever. And you walk away from this tonight and you go, Jokic was 9 of 11. He had 13 assists. I feel like he could do what he wants. Can Gobert stop him? I don't feel like he can. Now, that being said, the biggest play of the game was Gobert's block. And I feel like Jokic got a little fast and loose. He tried a sky hook, which is like, Jokic, it's almost like on par with a Sambor shuffle where he's like, you know what? What's F it? Let's try it.
That was honestly the only upsetting part of the night. It just sucked. It wasn't like a devastating
moment. I think the game
ended
there,
crap.
To be honest.
Well, because also, you know immediately when that happens that there's going to be so much this is the moment we'll play, you know, on ESPN or whatever. This is the moment that all these people will talk about. And it's it's one block.
The three afterward, because it was a block shot and it was a three. And there wasn't that much time left. Like, Denver was, I honestly, right up until that shot, I was like, Denver's going to win this one. And they had all the momentum and it halted there. So there is that. And you're right. And that goes on Jokic. Like, he just didn't have it tonight. It got a little fast. And in my opinion, he got a little fast and loose.
He got slow and loose.
Well, he got slow and loose.
He got slow. He was tired.
Man. I think he got you think he was tired?
He was tired. He was getting sloppy. I mean, obviously when you start talking about Jokic, like the scale is completely unfair. I mean, he's the most valuable player in the league. He is the best player in the league. So these expectations we have of him are justified because he's shown us we can do. So you know, we're coming down the stretch. It's like, all right, MVP time. It's MVP time. Jokic does all right. He shrank a little bit.
And this is a total like relay race, and your anchor is the fastest, the world record holder. And your anchor just ran like a regular, like tied.
Yeah.
The last guy. You're like, dude, we needed you to do the world record.
It did seem like there was some fatigue.
Am I mad at Jokic? Absolutely not. Like, he's incredible. He played an incredible game. It's just.
But you're still disappointed.
I'm a little disappointed because I want to beat the Jazz. Like, if this is a playoff game, I'd be upset.
Oh, man. If this was a playoff game, for sure it would hurt.
But, you know, again, like, they have a game tomorrow against another insanely high quality opponent.
We're going to talk about that. I think they should punt.
So, you know, like. No. And they were just running back and forth. So Jokic, he was making some uncharacteristic mistakes. He looked a little sloppy. I'm sorry, Jokic. You're the best player in the world, so I'm holding you to a higher standard. You're better than everybody else on the team.
Boya, you have a free pass because you are Serbian, so you can criticize him with impunity. But I want to hear you criticize. Do you have criticisms for him tonight?
Yeah, so that one, I mean, that play was the biggest one. Is like, it's not something we're used from him, like, recently he's got that killer mentality more. Like, you know, he put away the Clippers. Even with Lakers, like, he was shooting 28 times. Like, he was, I got to do this.
Right.
I think like the trick with the Nuggets, I mean, that used to be, like, the previous year teams, like, when they start off well, like, he takes a step back as in doesn't score, but, like, he distributes and, like, trusts his teammates. Because, I mean, that's his innate nature to trust people. And this was, like, to a point where, like, he probably got what you said passive, but like not in he doesn't want it, but it's like everyone else was eating, so like let's just distribute. And then when it got to time to be like crunch time, and that shot was either was like down by three, so it would have been, you know, down by one, or like we were down by one and it would have been in lead, because Clarkson hit a three and basically was like a two possession afterwards. And so that one would have been like the one I would take away. Like, otherwise, like, he's fine. Like, you know, obviously more than 11 shots would have been good, but again, like, Austin Rivers was hitting, like, Jermichael Green was hitting, like, it was kind of like the starters were dropping the ball a lot of the, like, segments in the second half. Like, this bench would come in, take the lead, and then we, like, we were up by 7 or 8, and then they, like, the starters come in, like, Gordon has some weird stuff, and we would drop the ball. So, like, it's that tricky thing with him is, like, you got to balance, and, like, today was more of, like, that last few years Jokic where he, like, oh, he trusts his team more than just taking it on his own. So, like, that would be my only, like, criticism.
There were a couple turnovers, too, down the stretch that were a little bit, I don't want to say uncharacteristic, because, to be honest, I don't know what the characteristic is of this team in close games down the stretch. Yep. And some of those, the one at the end, you know, Michael Porter kind of fakes like he's making a cut, Jokic throws it, and, like, those ones, it sucks. But that's very much a
totally
no chemistry yet.
Yeah. Just off the, like, they were both just on different pages. There were a few of those.
A couple of them down the stretch.
Jokic threw a few into traffic. I mean, just tough because it was so close. I mean, it really could have gone either way. At the end, you know, it's impossible. It's really difficult to win in Utah. Like,
yeah, it's really difficult.
For sure.
The Nuggets never win in Utah.
Yeah.
They had almost a full arena by COVID standards. So.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think this was an unexpected result. And you're right. Like, the Nuggets played admirably. Like, there's nothing to hang their heads about. It just, man, I just wanted to go ham.
Would have felt a lot better. Yeah, the whole Friday night.
Dude, I was going
to been awesome.
I was going to order some ham. I was going to go ham.
Wow.
I might still order that ham, though.
Yeah. Are you going to look at pictures
treat
of
yourself.
John Ham?
Treat yourself.
I'll do whatever I want.
Really?
We'll talk about it later.
So, Jokic, anyway, he's the king of the game. Is he the king of the game? I don't even remember, Kale. He's not the king of the game. We gave him...
MPJ.
All right, we went with MPJ. MPJ is a good king of the game as well. 31 points. We can move on to Michael Porter now. I bet Michael Porter to be the leading scorer. He let me down. Well, actually, he didn't. He did great.
Oh, no wonder you didn't want him to be king of the game.
That's exactly what it was. He cost me $5.
That makes sense. That makes sense. You were the most against it.
Patrick, what do you see when you watch Michael Porter play?
He's just so smooth. Like I know I'm just repeating. This isn't anything profound, but it really is. Every time you watch him, it's just like, yeah, he's very, very smooth. He makes, like you said, he makes difficult things look very, very easy.
We've all played basketball and done jumpers. Yeah. And like he does them, and you're just kind of like, you that looks so easy, and I know it's really hard
He does
do that.
That stuff that you do when you're playing against, when you're growing up and you happen to be 2 years older and much bigger than the other kids. And you're like, oh, this is easy, and everything's great. But he does that, you know, against other NBA players. And it's just, it's really, really fun to watch.
Yeah. Boya, how do you assess Michael Porter's night?
I mean, just, it's again, like they lost, so it's like hard to like, you know, give credit to like everyone great, but like I mean, 31 points, like that's what you want from him, like in these games. Like there's him and Jokic or should score the most, and like, again, 120 points in a game, like he had 31 of those, like that's a pretty great stat line. And like, and it was, again, I don't know the actual like shot splits, but like I think it was efficient, it looked efficient, and like and also timely. That's with him, is like we need those, like he has that yeah Mike moments, because like it's so cool with him. Like that's the player that I don't think that we like Nuggets have seen in a while. Like just what time, like nothing is going and then that shot hits and you're like just jump started right away, like a defibrillator, and like, you know, get back on
it's
track.
Those flashes, like, with him, you know, like he does he makes mistakes, you know, like but then he has these moments that it's just like, oh god, yeah, he can do some crazy thing.
And it sucks that the play of the game is Gobert blocking Jokic, because it was the most pivotal. Because almost the play of the game was Michael Porter postering Rudy Gobert. Which would have been like such a great, like,
that's a better poster.
Everybody lost their mind.
I'm not buying that other poster.
I'm not buying it either.
He was going right at him too, man. From that moment he took that first dribble, it was like, here we go.
Michael Porter just 6 rebounds. I think our line was 6.5, wasn't it? Or 7?
I think it was higher, like closer to 8, really?
Yeah, it's wild that he's so low on the... But, you know, another thing that I notice a lot lately, as you look at the box score, +3 for Michael Porter. Team high, I believe. Yeah, team high, +3. And, you know, I think part of this is obviously because he's a great player. But I think part of it is also because he's the only volume scorer that the Nuggets have, other than Jokic, who's also the volume facilitator.
Everything.
It's like any lineup that has him has one great floor spacer on it, and every lineup doesn't have him has zero great floor spacers. But it's been a trend over, you know, for quite a while here. I thought he was good tonight. Obviously made some big shots. I think he's shooting the ball as confidently as ever. 4 of 9 from three. Getting the 9 threes up was important. Here's the thing I'll ask you, Eric. He takes some threes that are not great, but I think they are great for him. Like, there's Steph Curry threes in that. I honestly never really question this. If he did too many, if he was 1 for 9 tonight and there was, like, 5 bad ones, like, questionable ones, whatever. But I think there's real value in him, his willingness to kind of elevate quickly into shots, because it gives panic to the defense.
I mean, he's the truest shooter I feel like I've ever seen. Like you said, I don't know what a bad shot looks like for him. Like, I mean, I don't know what a bad shot looks
Who
like.
Who is
him.
The
like,
purest shooter you've ever? I think Klay Thompson might be the purest. Klay?
I mean, there's just a lot of incredible shooters, but that's not a crazy thing. Like, I know exactly what you mean, but yeah, that is, there's a lot of guys right now that can shoot.
If he gets a clean release, squared, it's like.
I mean, the form is beautiful. The shot itself is beautiful. I mean, it's just, I don't ever feel like he's going to miss until the last moment where I have to acknowledge that it didn't go in, and then even still I'm like, I think incredulous. So I don't know. Yeah, like he can, there was a moment in the game where they showed a slow motion of him elevating up to take a 3-point shot, and he was so high in the air, it was insane. Like he can just elevate up over top of anybody to take that shot, and it's always open if he wants it.
If we need to prove from him, like saying that he doesn't see defenders in front of him when he takes a shot, it's that over Gobert like jab step he just took over. Obviously, like he missed that one, but like he just cold-headedly shot that over like one of the defensive player of the year that's taller than him, like one of the rare ones, and he no problem like took it off. Like,
the last guy we'll talk about before we take a break here, and this one's tough. I have a feeling. Aaron Gordon is going to be such a polarizing player, I think, here in Denver.
No.
Because there's been a lot of talk lately. I've seen, like, you know, just amongst fans and people online saying they need more from him offensively. I honestly don't think there is more.
Yeah.
And I think that to want more.
But it doesn't mean they don't need it.
Well, they do need it. You're right. And I think it's sort of fair to say these things. My thing is, I'm not counting on it any more than I'm counting on Shaq Austin Harrison. Rivers, like, oh, we really need Shaq Harrison to hit some threes. Like, If he does, great. But if he doesn't, I don't necessarily expect it. And I think the same is sort of true of Aaron Gordon. But that's not why it disappointed me. Tonight, 5 of 9 points. What disappoints me is Bojan Bogdanovic had 48. Denver wins this one if Bojan has 44 or 36
yep.
or 30 or any reasonable number. And I know that wasn't necessarily the matchup yeah. out the gate. But we've seen this. This is the thing we've seen from Aaron Gordon. Maybe he's pacing himself and we'll get nothing but full speed Aaron Gordon defensively in the playoffs. But we see him against Kawhi, steps up. We see him against, who was the one right out? Oh, the Lakers. We see him even there against Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis scored, but he defended him well. You see a night like tonight, and it's like, hey, man, Bojan, just he's clearly going off. Go and stop him. And just no, he couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. And it's like,
it's tough.
Actually, he can do it. He didn't do it.
It's tough, though. Like, Bojan's points came from behind the three-point line. Like, he was just...
He's a Joe Harris type.
His performance is... I mean, you cannot rely on Bojan Bogdanovic to play the game that he played tonight. Was this his career high or just a season high? I mean, it's like,
I think it's career high. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a 50-piece in
it. He had 46.
Yeah, 48. I mean, he was just...
So he had 46 before.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was just so pure from behind three. Like, what do you do? It's like that...
8 of 11, yeah.
Like, at a certain point, like, when you just run into a flamethrower, like, what do? You just get burned.
Are you impressed by Aaron Gordon at all?
I like Aaron Gordon. I understand what you're saying about maybe there's no offensive ceiling that's higher. But also, like, how long has Aaron Gordon been here at this point?
Yeah. Yep.
Three, four, right? 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Okay,
five
so,
weeks.
So not 2 days, but also, you know, not yeah. a season, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe there is nothing else, but it's like I still like the idea of Gordon being out with this Nuggets team.
I do, too. This is by no means an indictment on him as a whole. Because, like I said, come playoffs, I do think he's going to, like, step up and, you know, step into it. But he just has – he plays in a lower gear than you like from a
That's
player.
True.
Tonight was one of those nights where he's like, oh, it's a second gear night. And it's like, dude, this guy's going for 50. Can we get somebody to stop him? And
but does that make you feel like with the playoffs throughout, it'll be first
maybe,
gear?
Maybe.
I mean, who knows? But
yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always said I thought Wilson Chandler had the same thing. Like, he stepped up in big moments when he needed defensively, but you were like – random nights where you're like, come on, man. We can't let this dude
Can you
smoke
make
it.
One basket right. in the biggest bit play of the biggest game of the entire year?
Yeah. Where are you at with Gordon, Boyle?
I mean, the thing is, like, with around the trade, like, I was kind of skeptical. Just I didn't expect him to fit in as in to take a back seat that much. Like, he was a volume guy in Orlando. Like, he was supposed to be, like, their number one option and stuff. So I'm really impressed, like, with the wherewithal with him to, like, just be like, hey, I'm going to take, you know, do whatever you tell me to do. With all this stuff, it is kind of strange, like, you know, the tape, like, but again, like you said, 5 weeks. How long did it take Jeremy Grant to? Jeremy Grant didn't even like actually realize his like Nuggets potential, and fit in completely. So like, he took him to the playoffs to find out like, oh, maybe we have something here, and then it should have been this season if he stayed to like maximize him. And so Gordon, like, it's hard to like expect like so much.
Right.
Like, yeah, the honeymoon period was fine, but again, the honeymoon period was with Barton and Jamal in the same lineup. Where so much spreading the floor with like shooting and stuff, and Gordon, you know, now it's like two shooters out of five instead of like four out of five.
Right, so. Totally. It's funny. Do you think, here's a fun question before we go to break. Is the Utah Jazz, if you swapped Gobert and Jokic, how does Jokic look? I mean, this is the thing about the Jazz. They have nothing but three-point shooters. Every guy
oh my
on
God,
their roster. Is who's the worst three-point shooter on the roster not named Gobert? Royce O'Neal?
Royce,
probably,
maybe.
Yeah.
Royce O'Neal?
But he's also like a 38 or something.
Yeah, he's also not terrible. He's okay. And Derek Favors, of course, the other big. But everybody else they have is like a threat
out
there.
Well, you're talking about the one or the two seed in the West like throughout the entire.
Yeah, but I mean, they're only four games ahead of Denver. So it's not
yeah,
like
yeah,
they're
no,
that
you're right,
crazy.
You're right. You're right.
But I just want to like... It's funny because we've seen a couple different iterations now of the Nuggets. This is a completely different one. It's defensive guys, not really a lot of shooters, and it's working great. And I'm like, and all along I would have said if you gave Denver, if you gave Jokic Utah's roster, it'd be great. But I don't know, man. Like, I honestly don't know what the best. It's weird for me to say I don't know what the best form for Jokic is, other than great two-way players, which that's the great form for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just. Having a reliable second and third option, I think is what it comes down to where you just need to give Jokic options. Like, he just needs to be able to have that chaos factor to where the defense doesn't know if they need to cover him, they need to double him. Like, they can't double him because whoever he gets the ball to is just going to punish them, which is not the case right now. Like, Aaron Gordon
Is confusingly hovering around the outside of the three-point line a lot. Like, I don't know why he's not playing the dunker spot, or if nothing else, like, why he's not slashing more and cutting to the basket. Like, it might be what you're talking about. Like, he's just not engaged at a high enough gear to allow him to play like that. But, I mean, to me, it seems obvious. Like,
Jesus.
That hurt. I won't be back again after he crushed his ankle.
But it seems obvious, dude. Like, he's the dunker, man. Like, this, he has number 50 on his uniform because of his dunk contest prowess. Like, dude, why aren't you dunking? Like, why are you at the rim all of the time? It's confusing. Why
maybe it's injury. Maybe it's saving. I'm really curious to see him for the playoffs. Like, Aaron Gordon is a guy I'm really curious. I mean, he is an elite defender when he wants to be. It's just that. Like, Facu Campazzo, I never question how hard he's going to play. He's going to be like so hard. He has to be like, but, you know, I don't know. Gordon tonight was a little frustrating to me, and it wasn't offensively. It was defensively. Yeah. I would have rather a stronger input. But let's take a break, guys. On the other side, we are going to talk about the Tiny King, Facundo Campazzo. We are going to talk about Paul Millsap, who had a sneaky good night. And then a bench, JaMychal Green, also good. Not as good of a game, JaVale McGee. We're going to talk about him as well tonight. Very interesting one. But first, I'm going to talk about Manscaped.
Let's get some Manscaped up
in here. You guys, if you have bush, that's probably because you haven't tried the latest and greatest from Manscaped. Manscaped.com. I'm reading what it says here. It's like a beauty contest for your balls. This is the ad read. I'm just reading the stuff they have on here, guys.
I feel like you've really put some stank on
this. Okay, now I wish you had given this to me.
The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0. It's waterproof, by the way. I keep mine in the shower.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, because the way it doesn't matter. It's waterproof. So you can manscape at your own leisure. Cordless body trimmer. They've got all kinds of different, like, oils and lotions, and they've got boxers. They've got travel things. They got shaving kits. They got nose trimmers. You guys will never see a nose hair on me.
They're well tucked and hidden
inside the nose because of how much I keep it trimmed.
Can confirm.
You ever see a person, they have like the nose hairs coming out? It's the grossest thing you could see. But of course, if you hit up manscaped.com, and that's a great subtle hit too. Everybody thinks it's below the belt grooming. You're going to know the person in your life that has those nose hairs that you just can't help.
For sure.
Yeah, you can't help.
100%.
You get them a Manscaped thing and they're like, hey, a nose trimmer.
Yeah, actually, if you're thinking about giving a gift to somebody, give them a gift that's going to affect the part of them that you'll see.
Exactly, the nose trimmer.
I'm never going to see your below the belt
grooming. That's what you think. That's what you think, Eric.
Well, this is uncomfortable. Why don't you finish that read?
There's a great chance you will if you play your cards right.
I'm going to play them wrong.
Go to manscaped.com. Use promo code DNVR when you go there. Lots of great stuff, guys. Not just the below-the-belt grooming, but a bunch of men's products as well. And then, of course, Gabby Insurance. What does it stand for? Voya, how closely do you pay attention to our ads?
Get a better insurance.
Wow, look at Voya. Dude. He knows. And Patrick? Dude,
we couldn't get a better deal.
You said it all.
Yeah, Gabby Insurance, guys. Saving hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars annually on your insurance. If you really weren't paying attention to your finances like Eric typically, you might find out that you are paying way too much for home and auto insurance. You can go to Gabby, Gabby Insurance. Let me see. What is that? Gabby.com/DNVR, GABI.com. You can put, how much are you paying for your premium? What is it you're paying for? What kind of car, what kind of house, this or that? And then it'll tell you, hey, here's our policy. It'll compare it with your current policy. It'll compare it with Nationwide, Farmers, whatever it is. And odds are you're going to be saving money. This is the future of insurance. Check them out. Gabby, GABI.com/DNVR. Eric, you want to say anything about it? Usually when I do this ad, you like really chime in.
I feel like people are not here for the ads. Let's get back to the basketball.
Trim those nose hairs. Upgrade that insurance.
The Tiny King, Facundo Campazzo, continues to impress me. Continues just to be a guy I feel reliable about. But I give you the numbers here tonight. 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Only 1 steal, but it felt like 20 steals. He's still like, he just makes chaos in the half court.
It was a good steal.
But Voya, 5 points. 2 of 10 shooting. 1 of 7 from the 3-point line tonight. Not getting it done.
Yeah, that's the spot we talked about in the pregame. And like the point guard is going to run pick and roll with Jokic and free up the, you know, get Gobert trapped in that no man's land and stuff. But yeah, that it's one of those games that you didn't want. Like, as much as everyone, it's kind of funny, like, this game, like, it was good efficiency from, there's a lot of, like, we talked about Millsap, Rivers, like, a lot of these role players that stepped up, and it's like just a few of those, like, Facu, Gordon, and then Jokic, just not enough shots to, like, just tip the game, like, that much. Like, it was just that close. Yeah, it's, you know, that sucks, like, with him. But again, we got to live with that because like, that's just his thing is, like, you sometimes you'll have those games and then it'll roll off like three or four that's good. Like, I gotta like own it up here. Like, I was skeptical about Faku when he got here. Like, I didn't
understand.
Were you? Yeah, I didn't understand, like, why. Like, Miroslav was the one from our show.
Miroslav
like,
was certain.
Was he was, yeah, he was in a lot of my friends too. Like, they watched him in like EuroLeague a lot. They were like, oh, he's gonna be in the playoff rotation, like, for sure. Maybe even a starter. And I'm like, there's no way. And he's like, you'll see. He's a kind of dude. Like, he burrows in and like stays.
First of all, very clearly only a starter because Denver is missing a lot of players. Yeah. So I don't know if we can take like a victory lap on that one. But he is really good. And he is an impact player that I feel good about being out there.
But he's shown that it's like, I mean, it's just opportunities. Like, he's had the opportunity. Like, who knows now? Like, early in the season, he was every now and again closing games. I don't think it's going to be unrealistic at all to see him closing games in pressure situations, especially when you get to the playoffs. Like, we've seen him. He's an agent of chaos. Like, he makes the big play. He'll create a steal out of the El Mago, right? Like, he just steals the ball when it doesn't even seem like it's an available play. You know, we didn't really get much of it tonight, like you said. I mean, this was frustrating because I think we were leading after every quarter, if I'm not mistaken, except for the most important quarter, the last one.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to get too upset about any of it. I'm still going to do it because that's kind of my thing. Yeah. Just to get upset about things.
You'll turn around, though. I know you. We'll see. I know you.
I don't know.
Probably won't be tomorrow.
Upgrade that insurance. She'll be good. I'm going to be turning over
a new leaf, a much, much crankier leaf.
Let me ask you this one, though, Eric. How confident are you that Faku is going to improve as a three-point shooter between now and next season? I don't think it's going to happen this year, but do you think it's the thing that's it's the turn in the punch bowl with his game.
Yo, I think this is who he is. I think it's going to like too. If it's improvement, it's like he's going to be 9 for 9 and then 1 for 3, and it's gonna,
I agree.
You know,
agree.
Like it's going to be all feast and famine with him. It's just like his shot requires his entire body to be engaged to get the ball.
That's true, man.
It's not like he just got like the hinge motion that he needs to like perfect. Like he's got a lot of moving parts, and so if anything falls out of alignment, you're gonna miss. It's like a golf swing. So, you know, you just can't rely on it. But you don't want to be in a position where you're relying on Faku Campazzo as your dead eye 3-point shooter.
What do you think of the Tiny King, Patrick?
It's the opposite of what you were talking about with Gordon, right? It's like, you know, you're going to get maximum effort.
Oh, yeah.
But there's, like you said, there's a ceiling. Well, I guess there's not a ceiling because, like you said, it's back and forth. But
you just say because he's short.
No. Oh, man, go on. I'm not worried
about the ceiling.
I would never say
5'10".
Because, you know. That's it.
Argentina's
not going
like
to top that. Yeah,
right
not going to top that. No, no, but honestly, I mean, he goes, balls out, you know, the whole time, and sometimes you're going to feast and sometimes you're going
to
famine.
He brought to the table what he needed to tonight. Yeah, Paul Millsap goes 7 of 10. The tall lineup, you know, tonight I thought was good. I thought it was fine. It's funny, like,
they were hitting in the first.
How little we've talked about the small or the giant lineup with Michael Porter at shooting guard, how little we've talked about that over two games is actually really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could have easily been talking about, well, what do you expect, this or that, but it's like, I don't know. Porter kind of works in that.
Yeah. Do you think, like, with that, I mean, it's good, but, like, you mentioned McGee a little, like, now you moved Millsap into the starting lineup, and that second unit is no longer, like, lockdown, like, with Jermichael and him.
It's a great point.
Like, how much.
That second, I mean, JaVale McGee tonight had the weirdest game. He had 0 points. He had 2 rebounds. He had 1 steal and 1 block. But he was just chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos.
I was going to say chaotic.
Gotta have more cowbell.
Chaos.
Guys, I'm telling you, Janelle, it's chaos.
The walking move over here for.
I gotta tell you,
you can say it the same way because Faku was agent of chaos.
It's so true.
Really,
chaos.
The worst type of chaos.
Honestly, saying chaos is a more chaotic way of saying chaos.
Very true.
So,
yeah, when he shot that shot, like.
Sneaky
three,
important
three
jumper.
3 seconds into the shot clock, and it was like the worst. The second he looked at the rim, we all knew what was going to happen. It was just a slow motion car wreck, and you knew exactly the outcome. And it was just like, no, dude, what are you doing? Like, why?
It's funny because Austin Rivers keeps talking about how like everybody on this team is so willing to sacrifice in this or that, and it's a two-way street. Because back in the day, you remember this with the Thunder team, Kendrick Perkins would always get the first shot.
Yep.
And it was always like, we got to make sure he feels rewarded because he does so much dirty work for us. And it was like, what you're really doing is punting the ball on your first possession every single game because he never makes it. And with JaVale, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, we got a big guy. We ask him to do nothing but dirty work. Let him take that jumper. But at the same time, so that's one look at it. But the other side of it is, like, you're not here to shoot that jumper, man.
Oh,
at all.
Dude, but you're insinuating, like, the Nuggets wanted him to shoot that.
No, I'm not. Well, the Thunder didn't want Perkins to shoot that one. It was like a reward. It was like, hey, we know you're going to rebound hard, so we'll do this. And I don't, like.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, well, no part of the Nuggets team, coaching staff, fan base.
Malone
wanted
called a timeout.
Right,
yeah, a big difference in that, yeah, is that Perk, it's play number one for the starter, and we are giving you the shot to miss, and then we'll move forward. That is actually different, right, than a player, okay, we're putting you in for a specific reason. Oh, you took that shot.
Yeah.
So it's a little different than, like, punting intentionally.
Yeah. How do you feel about McGee? Like, what level of comfort do you have? It's funny because for the longest we had Millsap and Green playing together. We're like, we should play a big. But now that you've seen McGee, sometimes he's impactful, but
I mean, on the whole, like, I'm not loving it, but I also don't think it's something that we are reliant upon, so it's, like, hard to judge it too harshly. He did have, like, an incredible block early on, and there was a positive. So I'm going to step that back. I mean, we get good things out of JaVale for sure. I am surprised that the J Mike and Dad combo has been as effective as it has been from the defensive side. It looks like, you know, it looked like they wanted JaVale in to try to counter Gobert because Snyder was staggering Gobert with that second unit. So to me, it, like, made sense, but, you know, we didn't get a great game out of him. It's hard to, any player that plays that spotty of minutes, it's hard to expect anything out of them. But, you know, I mean, like, this is, you know, we brought him in to be the guy that has now, confusingly, the championship pedigree.
That's so weird. He's been our championship pedigree guy.
That's honestly the funniest thing we've talked about.
He's been the starting center for championship-winning teams, but he still makes, like, exquisitely boneheaded plays because, yo, he's just goofy, dude.
He is who he is. He is who he is.
Yeah. This is the stuff with, like, Malone that I was, like, always wanted him to do. Obviously, he's not that guy, but, like, you talk about, like, Gobert staggering, like, but tonight maybe, like, him, you know, being, like, against a small ball lineup, like, when you draw him out with Jermichael and Paul Millsap, might have been more like a better counter than just getting a tall guy that Gobert can just sag off of,
right,
and get in. So, like, that's the stuff, like, Malone, you know, Malone is, like, he'll do until it fails. And I just don't, like, in the regular season so long, like, I never understood some of the coaches when they're so rigid. Like, obviously, like, I don't know.
Who else would have played tonight, though, as part of this? Is, like, part of it was they just got to get a 9-man rotation in there. I mean, you only got 13 minutes.
Like, toggle, like, the starting lineup, not do the big one. Just go, like, maybe Austin Rivers, try him with the starters, put the reg in and leave him with the kind of like the PJ Dozier stuff. Leave him with that bench with Millsap and Jermichael. Just try. And then, you know, there's always a second half if it doesn't work that well. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's no rule that says you need to do it for 10 straight minutes.
Yeah. I'm bummed out, guys.
You are bummed. I'm surprised,
like,
by this.
Well, because I don't like losing to the Jazz. I don't know if I mentioned that early on. Like, if this was a different squad,
you did.
Like, I just like beating the Jazz, and I don't like losing to the Jazz. And that's really what it comes down to. I'm processing this. That's
so what's worse, Jazz or the Lakers for you?
The Lakers.
It's Lakers.
Really? Jazz over Lakers?
Are you kidding me? Come on.
That's surprising.
The Jazz are like
our
distant cousins.
The Jazz, to me, are our equal. And the Lakers are just this soulless, like,
they're golden.
I agree with that.
They win, they lose. They suck. As
Jazz and Nuggets, it's like a dispute between two neighbors. The Lakers are like Goldman Sachs seizing the assets of Wall
Street,
Main Street.
I want to be my brother, and like the Lakers are like.
It doesn't change at all that you got the, like, in the last battle, like, you know, 12 round fight.
You
knocked him out.
Me?
No, but I'm just saying, like, you say that, like, this is a bummer.
Dude,
but the last series that matters, right, when you're in the playoffs,
I like to win.
For sure, but I'm just saying, when have you gotten to knock out the Lakers out on it? I just think that would, I don't know, I can't speak for you, but that would gnaw at me a little more
The Lakers that just feel like such a monolith. And the Lakers represent just the injustice of the NBA.
Yeah,
so
100%.
When you lose to the Lakers, it feels like a systemic issue as opposed to just like, goddamn, we got beat by the team we should beat. And so when we lose to the Jazz, it's like these two teams were grown organically. They have two centers that are a lot of the talking points, and there's a little rivalry there. So like this one I take more personally because it just feels like more personal. When the Lakers win, I'm like,
man, if you lived in LA and rooted for Denver,
yeah, yeah, you so just need to spend like the tiniest amount of time.
You don't understand how worse off of reality they are.
Systemic. Yeah. They are a systemic issue. The Lakers.
Yeah. Fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Austin Rivers tonight, guys, a second night in a row now that he is hot from three, and I think it's encouraging. I mean, he's had nothing but fire quotes since joining the team. You could tell that he really feels great being here. To go 5 of 7 from the 3-point line tonight, he gets 18 points, 6 of 10 from the field overall. Most of those are 3-pointers, and in just 27 minutes. You know, I continue to be encouraged. We talked about, oh man, he's played so great. He's played within the system. If only he starts making shots. 2 games in a row now, he's making shots. What's your confidence level, Voya, and his scoring being here and consistent?
Yeah, I think he can do it. Like the problem with the Knicks was like he was up and down with the minutes. So he would have like you can see his like lists, yeah, and it's like 2-3 and then 25, then like, yeah, which is kind of the symptomatic with Knicks this year. Like quickly, similar way now, and like Rose and everything. So I think with this kind of stability, like in the lineup, like I think he can get this going more. Maybe not 5 of 7, obviously, but like if he goes 3 of 7 for like on a regular basis, that's good enough for a bench player. And then also he's like pretty decent in like finishing. He's one of the guys that like I've not seen the Nuggets, which again is like not a long like tenure of rooting for them, but like in the recent years, Jokic era, that like I'm confident in his first step. Like he blows,
yeah,
by,
he's really quick for
and step. He doesn't blow by like guys like Murray, and then he like steps back, like he actually goes to the rim,
right?
And he's uncontested.
Crazy, yeah, finish today.
Yeah, that up
well,
and under.
He's finally playing on a squad where like he can look at the coach as like almost a father figure.
Jeez, oh, so many,
so many that will actually like take care of him and cultivate.
That's just
him,
your anger and hurt from tonight.
Austin Rivers is a
out.
Great man. Like he again, like I, in no uncertain terms, buried him a few games ago. I said into this microphone that he sucked. And actually, it was a headset. It was not this microphone. This microphone is still clean.
You had a headset on?
I did. Remember, I was like in the Matrix that day. That was when I was. We were in the. It was
I have
the,
no memory of this.
Well, that's because
how many days?
Well,
ago
the Matrix.
Was
you don't always remember.
Several days ago. But the point is that he. I was very unhappy with his offensive contributions, and then he gave that unbelievably fire presser, and he explained like, yo, I haven't played in 2 months, yeah. So and I was like, all right, that's completely valid,
yeah, that's
and,
a well, fair
he so you now you start to see like confidence growing, getting legs underneath them and paying dividends.
Well, it's funny because he did kind of call it. He said last game he's like, this is the first time I've actually felt like I'm back, and then he backs it up with a back-to-back game, so maybe more minutes are in store for him. I mean, he played 27, it's not like he didn't play a lot, but maybe this is more in line with what Denver can sort of expect from him. I mean, 5 of 7, you can't expect that every night, but just being a guy that is somewhat reliable as a 3-point shooter. I thought the opposite is a little bit sort of true for Shaq Harrison tonight. He was open a lot tonight. I feel like we kept looking at it, and he still does things, yeah, defensively. He still does this or that, but I felt like tonight there was a lot of Shaq Harrison's wide open.
They did their homework. They
What's
know
that?
Him. They did their homework. Well, they know
and
him.
Teams will continue. Oh, that's right. They know. Oh, you're right. This was a Shaq Harrison
revenge
game.
Yeah, they didn't do their homework. They just wait. They were in the same class with him.
They were in the same class. I will say that the Utah Jazz picked Mia One over him. It was like between those two guys, and Mia One 0 of 1, 0 points.
The most
but
consequential decision.
A plus seven. In 5 minutes.
That Mia One.
And Shaq Harrison tonight, a minus 12, a team worse minus 12.
Better. Like, that's the reason.
Probably. I mean,
he shot in the bubble decently.
And look, man, you could tell Shaq Harrison struggles, not just in the games, but also probably in practice and in drills and whatever, because Jokic skips on him a lot. There's a lot of, like, he's wide open. It's like, hey, let's run something else over here. Let's see what's going on. But, you know, all in all, Jermichael Green's the only other guy we didn't mention. He goes 3 of 4 from three tonight, and they all felt big.
He had a good game, man.
The only play that sticks out in a negative way, he had a turnover that was like really frustrating tonight.
To be fair, every Nugget had a turnover, yeah, that felt frustrating tonight.
Well, ended on a turnover that felt frustrating.
Yeah. Are there adjustments that you would like to see going forward? I mean, you mentioned maybe not going with the giant lineup, maybe trying something else out.
Well, just because the bench, like, it's kind of the reason with, like, when Monte was asking to get back, like, it's working so far, but again, we saw with Jokic, it's working great.
Want
to
swap.
All the time. So, like, you know, maybe, you know, flip some.
All right, we're going to take another break, but we're going to flip out Patrick here because it is voting time. It is voting time. Patrick, you were great, though. You were great.
You didn't even get to throw your deuces. The Man in the Iron Mask graphic came up, and it ended your moment.
And vote while you're getting here. I'm going to read ads for you so you don't have to read them. Guys, We're going to hit an ad break here on the other side. We got super chats to get to. We got Brendan Vogt, who's in the post game. Can't wait to hear. But first, DraftKings Sportsbook, the presenting sponsor, guys. Tomorrow night, boxing. Canelo. Boxing it. We got, there it is. So nobody's really that into it, huh? My guy Canelo. We're not so pumped for this. What's going on?
This is a basketball show, bro.
Well, I'm going to say is boxing is fun because you usually, it's like a knockout, you know, you're watching
the
fight.
No, it's usually a knockout. That's the thing. The UFC is usually a knockout. Boxing is very rarely a knockout.
Just go with it. Just go with it.
Trying to kill the DraftKings read over here.
Whenever you're ready.
You know, it's like we're musicians and like I'm playing a dope solo and he comes in here with like a drums and he's just like,
first off,
effing it up, like hitting the.
That is a good analogy. Like if we were a band, Eric would just come in.
Yeah, but
hit the cymbal.
We're not doing the drum solo right now. You guys are like, isn't this little flute dope? And everyone's like, no, we're falling asleep.
Come on, man.
Anyway, I've got updates.
A little flute. All right, well, hold on. So DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And right now, for this weekend's fights, you can bet $1 and you win $55. Here's what's cool about it. This is how you know it's not a gimmick. Pick either fighter.
Yeah.
You pick either one.
Either one.
Hey, it's the same odds, 55-1. It's a great deal. DraftKings, it's safe, secure, reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download it right now. DraftKings Sportsbook app right onto your phone. It's free. And all new users right now get that deal. $1 to win $55 on this weekend's main event fight. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also, want to tell you about Eric's favorite partner of this. They are all your favorite, but the Hassle Cattle Company is the only one that you will scooter miles from while carrying their product.
Oh my God. I'll scooter any amount of time, any distance required between me and my delicious Hassle Cattle Company.
How far do you think you could scooter with
what's
your
the limit? Really,
$500
it's,
worth
what's
of
the
meat?
To be honest, it's up to the scooter.
It's up to the scooter because you can go all day.
I'll keep going.
Yeah. Hassle Cattle Company, guys, is that company, the family-owned company that's bringing you farm-to-table Wagyu beef. All different types. You can get the hamburger right here at the bar, by the way. You can get the hamburger. Oh,
right now,
our own Blaze is eating Wagyu beef hamburger right now. You can get some sausages. You can get beef jerky, or as my kids call it, beef turkey. Very adorable.
I destroyed it.
Blaze ruined that Wagyu.
We both
did. Go to Hassle. Oh, you did too. Oh, did you get the Hassle? All right, give us a review.
It's the best bar burger you can get. Like,
hell yeah,
you know,
it
comes
man.
In
That's
that
it.
Bucket. You know, with like fries and stuff. Like,
fantastic.
I love the way you frame that. It's a bar burger.
It is a pub.
It's not like you're going to a five-star. It's as good as you're going to get in the bar environment.
Well, yeah, because you have
just
to,
what
like,
I want.
Test a drip
just
and
what I
like,
want.
It's
10:30. I might order one still.
I'm thinking about it.
I had a late night. I'm going to have a, you know, whatever.
Shout out the kitchen.
HassleCattleCompany.com, HASSELL, cattlecompany.com. Use promo code DNVR10. Save 10%. And then we have a third one in here. And what is it? Illegal Pete's.
Chill.
You're like, right, I think I'm going to go to Legal Pete's after this.
Yeah, maybe I will, actually.
Maybe there's some Illegal Pete's.
You know what I like there? If I'm getting just a little late night snack, the chips and queso. Fantastic chips and queso. Very good. You guys know them right down the street from us on Colfax. We actually have them in Fort Collins. We have them all over Denver. They're great. Fast casual. Top. The top of the top.
Boom.
Fast casual.
There it is.
What's that?
No, there it is. Top. Fast casual.
It's the top. Yeah, it's a premier one. They've also got great bars inside their place. Great margarita deals, great happy hours, and just a cool, chill environment. If you come to Denver and you visit, in fact, you should do this tomorrow, Boya. You come and you just want to see, like, what's Denver like? Legal Pete's. Very Denver.
I walked by it when I was coming.
You walked by it? Yeah. It's got great Denver energy, so check them out, Illegal Pete's. All right. Eric is very sad.
Okay.
I'm not anymore.
What was the post-game?
Well, bear with
You're
me.
Over it? No, you're right. I'm right
We're
back
We're at
in
the
it.
Bar on Friday. Come on, let's
yeah,
go
listen,
over it.
Yeah, listen, I'm trying. I'm that meme where I've got the happy face on, but they're just crying behind it.
You're dead inside,
Well,
yeah.
Bear with me. Shout out bartender Darren, who poured me the strongest gin and tonic in the history of gin and tonics.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, just I don't know if you guys can tell on the stream. Adam's eyes, a little glassy.
Not going to lie.
My Tom Collins tonight was a little glassy.
This update could have a slur or two, but let's start with slurring my words. Let me clarify.
Yeah. Let's make the right kind of slur.
Michael Malone, he pointed to the costly turnovers, said they're just killer possessions. And of course, he pointed to the transition points, said he thinks they scored about 30 points in transition.
Man,
those were the most
egregious. Actually, we didn't talk about this. Some of the fast break plays tonight were ridiculous. Actually, Denver should have been up like 15 in the end of the first quarter. Jordan Clarkson gets three threes in that first quarter, and they were all on guys not knowing who was supposed to be guarding him.
That's what it was. They didn't match up in transition. And it's one thing an open three happens, but that was the result, I think, four or five different times in this game. And that's inexcusable. So you can
Denver
understand.
Wins this game if it comes down to just that, I think, honestly.
Well, like Ice Cave guy, I got a shout out to him. Like, he did a show like a few days ago with a couple of guys to do stats in your like in our area, Croatia, Serbia. Like, and I think that was one of the things they touched on. Like, I think one of the worst teams, maybe even the worst team in transition defense, are like the Nuggets.
Wow.
And yeah, that's depressing. That's, that kind of shows.
It was definitely factored tonight with regards to that fourth quarter. Malone says, "Quote: We weren't close to good enough on the offensive or defensive possessions." Eric, that's all the kinds of possessions, just so you know.
I know.
When asked about the way these two teams played together, Malone said, look, they know us, we know them. Quote, two really talented basketball teams that play the right way.
Yeah,
I really liked that quote. That's I know true. A lot of Nuggets fans don't want to hear it tonight.
If it is true. This is what look, I said.
If it comes down to Utah or Brooklyn or L.A., look, it's just an isolated regular season loss, so there's that. But with regards to the bigger scale narratives, look, Utah built a contender through good faith process. So division rivals hate on them. That's all well and good. That's all fun. But if it for me, you know, Utah over Brooklyn,
you got to get to the second round to be a contender, though.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
I love it.
But you know what, man? But you know what I'm not going to do?
First of all, also factual. So
And you're right. I'm just not going to call these Jazz teams frauds. Because they haven't done it yet.
Eric really hates the Jazz.
I really don't like the Jazz, dude.
I just hate Gobert. I just don't want him. That layup he had today where he freaking threw it 100 miles per hour off the rim, that attempt. It's just like, dude.
But you know what, man? That's good old-fashioned sports hating. It's
a
division rival.
Yeah,
they play right. They play well.
Exactly.
And you hate when they beat you. But it's not like you're watching the Lakers or the Nets thinking, what is this soulless exercise?
I described losing the Lakers as a systemic issue in the NBA.
Right. Paul Millsap, we spoke to him tonight. He said it was definitely a, quote, frustrating night. They definitely hit a lot of shots. They hit a lot of shots. But as Millsap,
they do that, though. That's kind of their
MO. That's what I was going to say, man. So Millsap referred to these as a lot of in-rhythm shots. And my first thought was, well, that's been Utah all year. I mean, they find in-rhythm shots for one way or another. So you could say, okay, they shot the lights out tonight. But that's what they do. So more communication, he said, with regards to Bogdanović. And then he said, I think whenever we did stop him, other guys got involved. Clarkson, Ingles.
Yeah.
I thought, to be honest, guys, the energy on defense was there for Denver tonight. I thought a very good basketball team hit some shots in their face. And
Other than what what you were talking about
transition,
earlier, those
transition.
And that's the thing is, they scored 127. Denver scored 120. Like,
I agree.
There was at least 15, 18 points off of, like, dude, where were you guys at in that play? So
to me, honestly, like, in a very reductive way that I just honestly think is true, like, Bogdanović went nuts. Yeah. He scored 48 points. Bogdanović
good, man.
Scored 48 points.
It's always the ones you love that hurt you the most.
He hit his career high tonight, and that was the difference in the game. Like,
you're right, man.
Played well enough to win this game. Like,
you're right, but they do that. And so I agree with Adam. Like, the transition – you can live with they hit the half-court daggers, right? So it goes. But the transition, I think, is where this game was lost. With regards to talking to the team as a leader, as a veteran, about all the injury luck, Millsap said, quote, I don't have to. We've got a lot of guys that have a good perspective on both basketball and life. That's the beauty of our team. So I thought that was a great quote. And that's shining through. I mean, that's why they've succeeded to this point.
I would say the same about this panel.
Oh. I love that, man. Love you guys.
I wasn't paying attention. What'd you say?
It wasn't about you.
It was about Voya.
It was about the rest of the panel.
We spoke to Michael Porter Jr. tonight on Bojan Bogdanović. They're definitely running things through him, but he also just had one of those nights. Both things are true. I mean, the Nuggets' defensive effort could have been a lot better on him. He had a lot of transition shots where you're like, how are you guys not prepared for this? But he also has Eric.
He also
just
had a lot there. You're like,
he had one of those nights.
Bogdanović, you'd be like, okay, cool. He scored 25. He had a good point. Like, a good night. Like, that is what you should expect out of Bojan Bogdanović.
No, man. Like,
48 points.
Voya, here comes Voya. All right, here's Eric. Balkan, like, Voya over here.
I feel like you're slandering. Like, you'd be like, oh, he's just Bojan Bogdanović. It's like, he's not.
But he's got 48 points.
I know, but like, he had 46 like 5 years ago. And like,
five years
against, like,
I feel like. I feel like you've made a great point for Eric here.
No, but the point is, like, he actually is capable of outside of Utah to do it. Like, he was in Brooklyn, one of the main guys, and, like, it's not that he's like a second-year player that just went off crazy.
But I said 25 points. That's a good.
25 would have been a good game. That's wrong. This was his 10th game of scoring 25 or more all year.
I think you guys are both right. Both of these things are
capable. That's what I mean. Like, 25 is good, but like that's an like could be an average for him.
Look, Jazz fans are sitting here saying we missed this guy in that series, and they're not wrong.
They're not wrong. For sure.
It was over 20%.
It was. He had 8 threes tonight. That's his season high. 48 points.
His career high.
So like, you can't expect his career high.
Hey, both things can be true, man. Both things can be true. So Porter talked a bit about his health tonight. He said, quote, "I'm perfectly fine. It's not like a hindrance for me to play all of these games. I'm 22. I don't have a direct quote, guys. He does go on to reference that back injury. More or less, he says, a lot of folks are concerned about that. I'm not at all. It hasn't bothered me at all."
Love it, man. That's great to hear, actually.
He's 22. Like, of course you feel that way at 22.
Yeah, sure.
You're invincible.
It would be a thing. It tells me he's not like, you know, sometimes I get a little tighter. Sure. I've adjusted and I've done this. Like, he's like, guys, I feel freaking great.
An underrated storyline in Denver is how little we've talked about this to this point. True. And there's a lot of other timelines where this is the entire conversation. Let's move on. Porter did say,
they should rest him tomorrow night, though.
Porter on the defense.
No.
Quote, "The elite teams do it. We've got to do it every night. We definitely didn't with regards to tonight." I mean, they have been lately, but I think you like to hear those quotes coming from the offense-first budding star. And then finally, Porter on Utah, quote, "This is definitely a little bit of a rivalry. It's always going to be this physical when we match up. It's always going to be a good game." I really agree, man. I said it in the pregame. These guys could be the 10th seed, the 1 seed, respectively. One team could be healthy, the other team not. It's going 12 rounds. That's just how I feel every time.
Yeah, it's that football like division, like kind of like reminiscent. Like, doesn't matter in like football how much like a team is like is a 2-8 whatever, and like the other team is 8-1, and like you can still have a close game, and like the other team can get a win. Like, it's
definitely not a lot from Jokic tonight, guys, but we did speak to Jokic tonight. Two quotes that stood out to me on the Jazz, quote, "They are playing for each other. That's why they're the best team in the West." That's something that the Nuggets like to say about themselves. I mean, that was the end of a longer answer in which he referenced a lot of specific things they're doing on the court. Well, but he's right. I mean, the Jazz are just playing the right way.
The Jazz and the Nuggets are both playing the right way. And like, we have to hate them. And
it'd be a lot easier to just hate these guys right now. But
oh, I do.
And you know what? Like,
it is easy for me.
I love that. I mean, that's sports fandom.
You're supposed to sports hate them. I sports hate them. I actually hate the Lakers.
Right, exactly.
And in real life, hate the Lakers.
That's the difference.
This is like, I'm going to drop another Game of Thrones. It's like Stark and Karstark.
Jokic
they fragmented at some point in the deep history.
Jokic on the approach tonight, the question sort of, it was a little bit of tonight and then just sort of how it's gone in general as of late with regards to the approach. Jokic says this, quote, "We are playing the right way. We know that as a team. Sometimes maybe the will or the power of you want to do something good, it kind of overtakes you."
What a philosophy.
But I think especially these close games, every possession matters. It is a true shame we don't get to speak to Jokic in his native tongue more. Yes. I think the language barrier holds
getting better
back
and better. Like, that's the stuff he would say like in Serbian, and it's impeccable. Like,
that's the wisdom he has in him. And I think it was a good perspective on tonight. There were definitely some shots in the half court taken by teammates where, all right, you can respect the desire to make something happen against Utah. Maybe just find Jokic and Porter in those moments. But a good perspective from the team overall. In their minds, they lost a hard-fought game to a very, very good team.
Totally. I mean, that's the summation.
That's what happens.
There's really nothing to be taken from this. This is just my frustration. Is just that I am I want things to be fun.
And when Blaise, you guys want the studio?
Things are good.
I mean, my big takeaway, guys.
I
hit it at the top of the segment, and again, I don't think it'll be popular with Nuggets fans, but
tell them we're done.
But credit to Jazz, man. Credit to the Jazz. This is. It's a good team
playing
well.
How I feel. I tip my hat to him. Whatever. Yeah. Move on. On to the next one. On to the next one, which is, I kind of hope they take it off Brooklyn.
No.
Brooklyn team. Why, Voya? You're so against
it. It's my first NBA in
person. Oh, you're right. Voya is going, you know what? Everybody play 36
minutes.
No
way. Like, if I go, I mean, obviously I'll enjoy it anyway. It's like grade season and everything. But like, if I go there and I have to sit, like, watch Jokic and MPG on the bench.
No. Voya, Do Serbian guys sit?
Hell no.
Hell no. Jokic is playing.
Well, if they do sit tomorrow, I'm going to text Conley and see if
he'll
at least take you to beat Jokic or something. You know, at least take you to beat Nikola. You can speak to him in his native tongue. Guys, thank you so much for riding with us tonight. This was a fun one. We had some guests in the lounge. Voya, your first live Losers Lounge. Luna. Hopefully you'll be back for a Winners Lounge before too long.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow after the game, immediately over here.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah.
Teleport.
If we win, I'll come with the flag and all that.
You should.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
What else would you do, right?
Everybody else, thanks for riding with us. We're going to be back again tomorrow. Hit the like button on your way out. We'll see you then.
See you tomorrow.
All right, you guys know how much I love Strava Craft Coffee, but Strava Craft Coffee needs to know how much we love them. Let's help this sponsor out, guys. You can now save 25% off your first purchase when you use code DNVR25, or 20% off every purchase for life when you subscribe to their subscription service, which you decide what dosage, what flavor, when it comes to you every 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks. Try the CBD-infused, delicious Strava Craft Coffee now. You won't regret it. It's my go-to choice with CBD to treat my anxiety, some of my joint pain, which I feel already as a young man. I need Strava. I love Strava. Check them out. Use code DNVR25.